DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
I like that. That was good.
I love doing that read.
That was good. Sylvester Stallone, one of my all-time favorites.
Sly.
Too. Oh, yeah. Love him. Love him.
Never He's in Rocky, right?
No, that was Arnold.
Oh. Harry was complaining during the break that it's too dark for way too long now in the mornings, and he's not wrong, yet he's sitting there in absolute pitch blackness with the
lights on.
Actually,
they got the studio lights on in here, if you can see them.
Oh.
Good observation by you.
I can barely see in there. It's so dark. Your eyes are all glazed over. You're still not 100%, are you?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here today.
78%.
Are you going to be ready for a quiz callus today?
Yeah, I figured I couldn't miss that either. That's kind of why I showed up, too. I was like, it's a weekly thing. Good ratings. Can't miss it.
Your dedication to the craft will never be lost on us. Texter writes in about that last call we took, about four down linemen. He said, caller means four down linemen, actual defensive linemen, not the outside linebackers. Well, you're not going to take Watt off the field.
Use him as a defensive end and run an actual 4-3 defense.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional, old school 4-3, and use him as a DN, use Highsmith as a DN. Yeah, well,
they've
just
done,
not going to do that.
They've done a big kind of nickel thing in the past where they will put four down linemen out there. But listen, folks, they don't got a ton of depth at that position.
No.
And so you're going to take Watt and Highsmith off the field so that you can then have four defensive linemen when there's not even four you'd like to probably even rotate through there. I don't think they have the personnel to be able to do that, especially without Derek Harmon. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, I think the Seahawks' plan will be to run the ball on the Steelers. They have a couple of good backs with Charbonnet and Walker III. Control the clock, try to score early, 10-0, 13-0, make the Steelers crowd go silent. I think Seattle will allow the Steelers to run the ball to focus on the weapons at tight end and wide receiver. I don't know. I'd feel pretty good about doing anything as a Steelers defense after watching them week one.
Except for staying away from Watt and Jalen Ramsey, if you
yes.
could do that.
Yes. I think the Steelers won the quarterback battle on Sunday and lost pretty much every other battle and still won the game.
I think they won the wide receiver battle.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Metcalf.
Tight end battle.
Okay, sure. Pass the eligibles battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We are joined now by, well, one of our favorite people, Pat Bostic. It is Brawl Week, the Thursday of Brawl Week. Bostic is also our quarterback insider and a wonderful man. All the people out there texting in, are you being serious that Stallone was not in Rocky? No. No. Nobody was serious about that.
We were joking.
Mm-hmm. Even I was joking.
Yeah, I know that.
Even I knew Sylvester Stallone.
And you have never seen Rocky, and you still knew he was in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Texter, did Doran really say Arnold was in Rocky? He did, but he was kidding.
Guys, Rocky is one of my favorite movie series of all time. Come on.
Which is your favorite one? The original?
Four.
Four is my favorite, too.
Really?
Yes.
I thought Four was crap.
You've never seen it.
How we doing, Patty?
I'm great. I'm awesome. You?
Well, you know.
He's been odd this week, like just a little off. You know, he's been oversleeping a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Fred Iritti last night with Gary Bowser at the Pat Narduzzi show. And apparently the afternoon guys were talking about some bet you were supposed to wear pit gear to the game or something.
Yeah, it was for the five-alarm marathon if we got to a certain threshold of
donations. Did we not get to that threshold?
We got there.
Oh, yeah, we got there.
Okay,
we got there.
You have to wear a pit shirt Saturday?
Yeah.
To the game?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so it's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Will there be documented evidence of this?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So you're telling me that Narduzzi knows about this?
No. This was somebody else. This was someone in the audience. The Deuce doesn't know. I wouldn't do that to you because you'd never hear the end of it.
I would not. Deuce might offer to drive me to the game, put me in a headlock, and make sure that I wear the shirt.
He probably knows now.
Dang it.
Somebody's going to tell him.
How'd the show go last night, Pat?
Awesome. It was great. We had about 65, 70 people in attendance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's Brawl Week, man.
Yeah.
Shoot, you got to be excited.
Yeah.
This has been the lowest of just like energetic and just nothing Brawl Week at all with us because Crowley is just...
He wants to avoid it.
It's
a rope-a-dope. It's a rope-a-dope. They're going to come out with their hair on fire.
It's a self-defense mechanism is what it is.
You are single-handedly making the show worse because of it. You need to be hyped up. It's a big game.
Listen, I've been talked into many a bet on this here show, including one about the University of Ohio game last week. I am not making a bet about this game this week. I'm not.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Thank you. The longer the week goes on, you know how it goes with fans, right? My friends are texting, we suck, da 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 da. And by tomorrow, they'll be like, 60,000 strong, we're gonna get it done. And I just don't know that I can get myself to feel that way. And I think Pitt's a really good football team, and I don't think Pitt's played their best football of the season yet. I don't think by a long shot. And I think that's a good place to be when you're sitting there at 2-0 and you got some stuff up your sleeve and you're going to play your rival. And I think Pitt's going to play with their hair on fire, too.
Agreed. I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, it always is, regardless of the situation or what's happening going into it. And this is the last one for a few years, so there's more to it with Rich Rod. But you know, one team's coming in limping, literally, and the other one is feeling decent. So we'll see what happens.
Sets up good for Pitt, too. Because bye week and then a home game against Louisville.
Huge one.
And I think Louisville's a good team.
Makes this game really important.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of pressure, I think the pressure's on Pitt.
Yeah.
In this game. They're favored on the road. You're playing a team that just lost on the road, that the best player's out for the year. You're supposed to win this game, but everybody knows that a hell of a lot that has to happen for that to be the case. Right, you got to withstand the stripe out. You got to withstand, you know,
atmosphere, everything.
Years of Rich Rod wanting to get a crack back at him again. I'm sure they're going to have stuff up their sleeve, too.
I hope they got something different.
They will. I just, the thing I watch and wonder about him is there's just so many new players.
Yes.
And defensively, they do so much schematically that if Pitt tempos and motions and shifts like that, I don't know how they get it all called. I don't know how they don't just line up and try to play and keep the game in front of them, which is not what they've done these first two games.
I don't think that's who their defensive coordinator is.
It's a chess match between two 31-year-old coordinators.
Yeah.
I think that's a fascinating aspect of this game.
Absolutely.
I think both guys really well thought of in the football community.
No doubt.
And I think both organizations, both programs would like these guys to be around for a long time. I think the crowd could turn rather quickly if Pitt gets out to a fast start. I think that's a really interesting storyline. If my social media feed was any indication of the way things were going on Saturday against Ohio. And I think this is a perfect opportunity to talk about, okay, yeah, West Virginia's got 81 new players. Pat Narduzzi, in an era where, my God, is it difficult to keep guys, did a great job keeping this roster together this year.
That's the number one thing. And we brought that up maybe a couple times, but I don't think people bring that up enough. And we'll see how the season goes. But it is very significant for the quality of players that he brought back and wanted to stay here and had opportunities to go elsewhere.
Yes.
That is very significant. Yeah. Like you just said, that doesn't really happen that much anywhere nowadays.
No, it's hard. And it ends up costing you from a dollar standpoint, but it's important. I think And I watch Rich Rod's press conference and listen to all that throughout the course of the week. And I think next year is going to be that for them. I think they're going to be a retention developmental type of program. I just think he came in and was looking, A, to turn the culture, and B, to get players he knew would play hard and fast and physical and play his style of football. And, you know, kind of akin to Johnny Majors way back in the day. Like, if you don't want to be a part of this, then see. And if you think we're gonna pay you because you guys, you know, won 9 games 2 years ago to stay here, you got another thing coming.
Right.
I'm here for a reason, and it wasn't good enough, and I'm here to make it better. So, you know, it's a byproduct of year one, but there's just so much new. It's so hard for that to coalesce in such a short period of time. And then injuries to boot, you test depth. There's a lot of guys that have played football, but not in a game like this.
Right.
And I think that advantage Pitt in terms of the experience.
And the experience within this rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Having played in it last year for a lot of these Pitt guys, I know Rich Rodriguez said, they are going to know what it's about. Zach Alley, their defensive coordinator, they're going to know what it's about. You don't know until you're in it. How could you know until you're in it?
I didn't know till I was in it. I mean, I didn't grow up here, so that you walk out in the field, you know pretty quickly when there's a fight pregame.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit different than your standard, you know, week 3 game.
Sure.
And the rivalry itself is one thing, but even, you know, the guys that played in it last year, like Eli, like Dez, they're embarking on a new part of the rivalry of going to Morgantown.
Sure.
That's different.
Now,
that is way different than playing at home.
No, it is. But you know, Dez posted something on his Instagram. And here's a guy coming from Western Carolina, from Florida. He's by way of, you know, Miami. Never played in the game. And I'm pretty sure one of his first touchdown, the catch he had, he caught the ball. No one was near him. And he sought somebody out to go talk something. Like, he assimilated to the rivalry pretty quickly. So I would expect the same to be the case for the Jack State guys on the WVU roster. And listen, they're all there because they want to play for Rich Rod. And they know what this means to him. And regardless of, this won't erase history, but for Rich Rod, it's a really important game. And I think his players will be ready to rise to that occasion, to play on behalf of their coach. And they're obviously a pretty pissed off football team right now after last week. So that's a dangerous situation to walk into. And if you're not ready, you can get caught. And if you're not composed, you can get brought down to the game and get into some unnecessary stuff after the whistle that can distract you from being the better team, which is what Pitt needs to be focused on doing in this game, is being the better football team, not winning a fight. That it's a big difference. But this game can turn into that really quick. You know, and how many years have you seen it, right? Pitt, West Virginia, 2006, Darrell Revis, punt return, tied at halftime. What did West Virginia do in the second half? Came out and blew the doors off them. But it was close, and that West Virginia team was of a different ilk than that Pitt team. Us in 07, right, we kept it tight, we mucked it up, and ended up hanging on for whatever reason. I mean, the roles have reversed so many different times
that
you can't take anything for granted in games like this. I hope I'm making you feel better.
Well, what it does make me feel is,
it'll be a dogfight, man.
Next year, I guess Pitt's going to open up at Ole Miss.
That's the scuttlebutt.
There's scuttlebutt.
There's still a lot. 9-game schedule still out there. Like, there's still
absolutely
a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the point is, and West Virginia's going to play a neutral site game against Virginia. And that's great. You want to see your teams play against different teams. And that's exciting and new is exciting, and especially if Pitt goes to an SEC game. Really cool. I'm sure it'll be something that Pitt fans circle. You want to go to the Grove and do that whole thing. There's nothing like this.
No.
There's nothing like this. And because of my pessimistic nature as a sports fan, pretty much in for every team that I'm a fan of, I come to dread the week leading up to the week. Because I hate losing the game more than I feel elated winning a rivalry game. Yet, when you get to Thursday at Brawl Week, it's like, well, let's go. Strap it on. Put a little more air in your helmet. Spot the damn ball and let's go. Let's play a football game.
Pump the old helmet up.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate there is a lot of that riding on it, right? You've got to deal with 364 days of nonsense, whether you...
Well, and now it's 364 times 4.
Right. But obviously, whichever way this game goes, the series is going to be either 3-1 or 2-2. And that's why it matters. But you have to step back and appreciate the scene, the pageantry, the history that goes into it. You know, college football is so much about metrics and money and all these things. And this game delivers that. It delivers that in a lot of ways. There may be games that have outperformed it situationally, but year in, year out, this game registers on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
And even with a West Virginia team that's coming off of a road loss and didn't get the opportunity to have game day and all those things, it's got the attention of the country in some ways. Not the way it could have, but it's still 108 times is a lot of, that's a lot of games. It's a lot of games. There ain't a lot of schools that have that type of history together. So, you know, we got to celebrate it while it's here.
The highest rated games from week two, I mean, you had the Michigan-Oklahoma game, two ranked teams, Ole Miss at Kentucky, because that's on ABC. But right there last week, Missouri-Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, Kansas, I think, has got some good things going for them. But Missouri's, you know, they were really good last year. But they're kind of an afterthought in the SEC. Neither one of those are big-time college football programs. People want to tune in.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a damn rivalry game. It's regionality. These are things that are really important to college football. All right, we'll talk more about this game, obviously, with Bill Hillgrove coming up at the end of the hour. Coming up next, we'll get Pat Bostic's thoughts, our quarterback's thoughts, on the Steelers' quarterback.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back.
He's doing now is similar to what he did in Buffalo. He just had to clear some of the cobwebs. Play action. Rodgers on time. Skoronic. Touchdown.
Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes. Steelers win 34-32. Aaron Rodgers, the 26th best quarterback in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. We now have our guy, Pat Bostic. He breaks down football for a living. He also knows the quarterback position damn well. Your thoughts on Rodgers' performance? 26th best in the NFL there, Pat?
No. I thought he was really good. I think that what I saw as the game went on, his snap-to-throw timing was a little bit slower than I would expect from him. He would never say this, but I think there was a part of him on longer developing plays that was like checking the left tackle when he got the ball. I really do. Like, I saw him checking to make sure that there wasn't somebody free coming at him, because he got walloped a couple times. And you saw him moving a little bit unnecessarily in the pocket, making great plays. The arm talent is there, man. I mean, yes, those three touchdowns were – three of the touchdowns were wide open, and the one was a touch pass. But you know, the balls that he threw over the middle, the ball to Calvin Austin on the out route where he's got pressure in his face, like the command, it's elite. And I think that, you know, he gives them a decidedly larger advantage in games where they need to score points than they had before. This is a perfect example of that. I don't think they win this game last year.
No.
Yeah, you said that a bunch of times.
I don't think they win it the year before that, the year before that, or the year before that. And even Ben's last couple. I think they find a way to, because they've depended so much on their defense over the years to keep them in games, that when they're as porous as they were against a Jet offense, they couldn't run the ball last year. That would have demoralized the offense, whereas Aaron just took it and said, okay, we'll take care of this one. So I was very impressed, but they have to protect him. And my off-season fears were realized.
Of Broderick?
In game one.
Think you nailed that.
Against a good front, but not the best front they'll play all year.
What can they do Sunday to protect Broderick and protect Aaron? Like, what would you do?
Well, you have to borrow from somewhere, right? There's cause and effect to everything you do. To mitigate pressure, you're going to have to give him help, which means you're not going to get a tight end out in the route or a back out in the route. And they don't really have backs that I feel really good about, like, chipping, and they're going to really help him. And some of the – I heard Trey Essex on, with you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the sacks were like the back would damn near be blocking the guy by himself.
Yeah.
On a chip. Like, it wouldn't be a help situation. It'd be like a here you go situation. So it's concerning. I appreciate Aaron coming out and expressing confidence in Broderick and Broderick's
called him Broad too. I mean, they got a great relationship.
They might as well just shorten it to bro.
Mm-hmm.
Or bra. But
Broad probably not the right. best. Now that
right.
I think of
right.
it.
Right. That's pretty good. I didn't even think of that.
I didn't either. B-R-O-D.
Yeah. Broad.
Important clarification, yeah.
But anyway, they're going to have to help, and it's probably going to be Darnell Washington. You know, but that means that he's essentially become a third tackle in there. And so that's an unfortunate result of where they're at, and I don't think there's much they can do right now to shore up that position. There's not anyone on the roster that I feel like is going to go over there and, you know, you don't want to throw Faltano over there. He's not built for that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll mess him up. So they got to ride with it, but they're going to have to help him. It's this fine line, though. Do you think what he's doing are correctable technical mistakes, or is this an ability thing? If it's technical and you give him help all the time, he's not going to get better. You got to let him play
through it, right?
But that could get your 41-year-old quarterback carted off the field.
Mm-hmm.
If you help him out all the time, you're basically you're crutching him. You're crutching his development. So I'm going to continue to pay very close attention to that situation. I think it will go hand in hand with their level of success as the season progresses. They're not going to be able to win every game like that with him getting sacked four times and getting hit more than that.
To that end, personnel package percentages are now out. We'll give them to you next.
Nice.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Voice of the Pitt Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, coming up in about 13 minutes. Interesting how that worked out.
13 minutes and 9 seconds.
Yep, that's right. I see from Alex Kazora, SteelersDepot.com, he does good work. Steelers personnel usage, week 1, 53 snaps, excluding kneel downs. Which, that's not a lot of snaps.
No, it's not.
Made the most of them.
12 personnel, 28 snaps,
mm-hmm.
52.8% of the time. 11 personnel, 21 snaps, 39.6% of the time. 13 personnel, 3 tight ends, 3 snaps, 5.7% of the time. And 21 personnel, 1 snap, 1.9% of the time. So they did not use 13 personnel as much as we may have thought they were going to use 13 personnel with the 3 tight ends. But if you're going to protect good old Broderick Jones and you want your best pass catchers out there, I think that's probably the best way to go about it, in my opinion. But I want your opinion.
I mean, with the emergence of Calvin Austin, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field.
Mm-hmm.
So the 13 personnel, it might just be 12, but you're just going to have to rotate Freiermuth and Johnny Smith, which is exactly what we've been saying all week and what Pat just said is, you're going to have – it's a give and take. Like, you're going to have to protect your offensive tackle, not just your quarterback, but your offensive tackle, and not have your best players on the field and have to sub your best tight ends, pass-catching tight ends, in and out, not have them both on the field at the same time because you have to have Darnell in there.
That's unacceptable in year 3.
No, it is. I would drill down on the 11 personnel and wonder how many of those were third downs. Because they were in a lot of second and long, third, medium to long.
How about this? On four, this is from Alex Kozora as well. He's doing the yeoman's work. On four of the team's 7 third-and-6-plus situations. I'll say it again. On four of the team's 7 third-and-6-plus situations, Pittsburgh was in 12 personnel with Freiermuth and Smith.
Interesting. So that makes that adds up. I mean, 13 personnel is tough because it's right. You're taking Austin off the field. One of those guys, basically a fifth lineman or sixth lineman in there with Washington. Now he's eligible, obviously, so he can run a route. But in order to do that, you have to run the ball better. And they did not run the ball well. They didn't have any explosive runs of 10-plus yards, which is one of the reasons Najee Harris isn't here anymore.
Right.
A part of that was probably the Jets, but still, I mean, if you're going to live in that world of 12 and 13 personnel, that's not a drop-back pass world. That is a play-action pass, move the pocket, you know, create chunk plays off of action pass type stuff, and they got to run it to be able to elicit the type of look to do it. If you can play too deep to that look, because you're not afraid of the team running up your new you know what, you got a problem. You're gonna have to play an 11 personnel because you're gonna have to be able to work three receivers. So 11 personnel, not surprising that was 52%. I mean, excuse me, 12 personnel was big, the main formation, the main personnel grouping. I figured that's where they would be, but to give Broderick help, man, you know. Either you're going to have Darnell in there, or you're going to have Freiermuth and or Jonnu Smith chipping their way out. And what that does is it pretty much reduces them to check down type routes. Delayed routes.
Do you think they'll force the run this week because they didn't get the run game going last week? Or do you think that they'll stick with the game plan of what they did last week? Like, I feel like that they want to make sure this run game is good. So right now my intuition is like they're going to try to force Jaylen Warren as much as possible against the Seahawks.
I think that will be the intent, but I think they have a guy behind center that knows whether it's a good look or not and can get out of it and has answers and can dial up those answers at any point in time. Whereas the past couple years, I feel like they've been going in with the situation was very black and white. They were going to run the ball. They were going to throw the ball. It wasn't going to be, hey, Aaron, if we get this look, let's get out of this. You know, even with Russ, I don't think he had the freedom that Aaron will have. So, yeah, that'll be the intent, but don't be surprised if 8 slings it 35 times either.
Texter, what the bleep is 13 personnel? Second number's tight ends.
Yep.
So.
Backs, tight ends.
Yep.
Back,
first
tight
end. Number is running backs. Second number is tight ends.
I love the text, though. What the bleep, started with an F, is 13 personnel for us dummies out here, they write.
Now, part of this, too, is like, what's the matchup for Broderick? That can be week to week. That may adjust your level of concern or the degree to which you have to attribute extra blockers to his side. But I still think, man, that they're it's a yo-yo, right? Like, do you want to give him a bunch of help and basically admit that you were wrong? Or do you want to let him play through this? And do you think he has the ability to get through it? From what I've seen, I don't think he will.
And do you want to, I mean, you're putting Aaron Rodgers on the island too. There's three things you've got to worry about.
He got whacked in that game, man.
Yeah.
Like, whacked. He said his back hurt going into the game. I can't imagine how he felt on Monday.
Like me, kyphosis. Yeah. Not good.
I mean, but then he's out at, you know, walkthrough in practice yesterday. Doing his thing, man.
Looking spry.
If he plays like that, I feel really good about my 11-6 prediction. Really good. Really good. If he plays like that. But pretty important that he remains upright and available to do it.
We will get back to the Steelers coming up at the top of the hour. More information on Tyreek Hill and the Steelers' interest in the controversial wide receiver. Coming up next, no controversy. Everybody loves this guy. Bill Hillgrove, voice of the Pitt Panthers, to preview the Backyard Brawl.
And that'll be it. Final score. The Pitt Panthers defeat the Chippewas of Central Michigan 45-17.
The voice of the Pitt Panthers, heard there, is Bill Hillgrove. And you can hear him right here at 7:50 every Thursday morning. He joins us right now. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Bill, thank you for joining us. It's Brawl Week.
Always look forward to it. You know what it's like from one end, and the rest of us know what it's like from the other end, and I hope it goes on forever. I really do.
Bill, you know, this very rarely works out, at least in college football, and you were around when Johnny Majors came back in the 90s. Didn't work out so well. Do you think it ultimately works out for Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia, him coming back and being the head coach now?
I hate to duck your question, Doran, but, you know, every case is different, and I don't know that anybody can set a pattern for going back home. I do remember one of the great lines of Beano Cook when they talked about Johnny Majors coming back home, and he said, "Would John Majors have come back home if home were TCU?" And at that time, TCU was a bottom feeder. And I thought it was a pretty great line. But it's, you know, to be determined. You know, there's a lot of positives, but there are some negatives attached to it as well. And in Majors' case, when he came back, he didn't have the kind of support from up above that he had the first time around, and he was doomed to fail. So, you know, every case is different.
Billy, you've called enough of these games, obviously 108, the 108th edition.
He hasn't called all 108.
No, Saturday. I'm saying he's called a good portion of those. Not more than half, but close.
I can recall them, but I didn't call them.
There you go. But you called plenty of them. And I think the old adage that applies to rivalries, that you can throw the records of the previous week out, applies to this one, and there's many examples that it really doesn't matter what the records are or what happened last week. The brawl takes on a life of its own.
Absolutely. And this will be no exception. I know that, you know, early in the week we got the news that the Mountaineers have lost a couple of offensive starters. And, you know, some fans say, well, that's a good thing for Pitt. I don't think it applies. I think rivalries. The players play their best. They play heated football. And, you know, I agree with you. I just think that, you know, anything can happen. And if the Panthers go down there thinking that it won't, they could be in for, a long afternoon or a long afternoon toward evening.
Bill Hillgrove, our guest here on the Fan Morning Show. Bill, what's your synopsis of what Pitt has been able to do through a couple of weeks?
I like the step forward that Eli Holstein has taken. You can see that he's seeing the field better. Okay, he hasn't made every decision a good one, but most of them, yes. And also his willingness to take what they give him in terms of using his feet to get first downs. I think in college football, the quarterback has to be able to do that. I like the depth on defense that I've seen. With the exception of maybe corner. I like the depth up front. The linebackers, they've got three great starters and pretty good guys behind them. And on offense, you know, I think some things were answered. They've got receivers. And, you know, although they're new faces, new names, they're quality. And the tight end position is crowded and deep. So, and the offensive line, I think the most important thing, it's better. At least it has a chance to be a lot better than last year. So I think it augurs well. And Trey Butkowski has done everything they've asked for him as a brand new kicker. And I see great consistency with the punter. So, you know, all things are kind of pointed up for the Panthers.
I hope that West Virginia has provided you with a legitimate two deep and not one of these crazy, bizarre two deeps that the rest of the media gets to see, Bill. You got all kind of names to memorize.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I checked it this morning against what I had, and I only had to add one name. And, I added Jamori Robinson just in case, but there were some indications during the week that he may not go. So I think that's a game day decision for Coach Rod and his staff.
Bill, you're the man. We look forward to your call of the 109th Backyard Brawl coming up on Saturday right here on The Fan. Thanks a lot.
Nobody's looking more forward to it than me.
Thanks, Billy.
See you there, Pard. He's the best.
I feel like we end our conversation with Bill saying the same things every week.
Yeah,
that he is the best. And you guys will have the pregame coverage beginning at 12:30,
yeah,
correct?
Doran, yes. Pomp and Johnny Patrician.
JP.
JP.
I did a show with JP on Sunday night.
And Larry Richard and myself will have network pregame at 12:30. I'm on at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes.
It's on Saturday. So we got wall-to-wall.
On your highly rated Panther Insider show.
That's right.
Incredibly highly rated.
You don't want to miss it.
Who are you going to have on? You have it planned
out? To be determined. I've got some options.
Okay.
I've got some options.
Whatever time you need me, Pat, is fine.
I've actually, there's a call. Sam in Morgantown calls me every week.
He's really?
A West Virginia fan. Calls every week. So we might have an extended segment with Sam.
Nice.
On, I like to open up the phone lines.
Yeah.
You know, engage the people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
On that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider.
I just lobbed it up for you, alley-oop to Crowley.
For over 50 years. I can't even touch the rim. Coming up next, yeah. Can Tyreek Hill? Probably. Not a tall man, but an athletic one. What's the latest on a potential Steelers trade for Tyreek Hill? We'll tell you next. First, Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high 80 for the brawl in Morgantown. High of 77 degrees and sunny. It's a Fan Morning Show.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.